From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're on the phone for the fans of Bleed Blue Show, the Dugout Podcast. We're back with some baseball here on the Bleed Blue Show. Of course, pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. Matter of fact, when we be back in 2 weeks from now, so 2 weeks from now will take us to the beginning of March because of a short month of February, we will already discuss, I say, three spring training games. So we're going to move rapidly here in this offseason, 2021 spring training, Grapefruit League, New York Yankees baseball, MLB, alongside with that. So let's get the guys and gals on. We ain't going to waste any time with this. We're going to talk some pitchers and catchers. We're going to talk a little bit of this. We'll probably get most of the roster, I say, the next episode. But this one, we're going to hone in on the pitchers and the catchers, a very important piece of our squad. But let's get everybody. Suzanne from Bleeding Yankee Blue at Suzy Prof. Suzy Prof went on the gram. Suzanne, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guy? How's everything going by you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. You didn't take too liking of the Tom Brady apology form. I know you had a little laugh.
Listen. You know, we could talk Giants all day. I bleed blue, and that means Giant blue, Yankee blue, Ranger blue, Nick blue. I'm never going to sell my soul to the devil for Tom Brady. But I do have people that would say, hey, you know what? He did something extraordinary for sure. But I will say this, now that we're focused on baseball, at the end of the day, focus on pitchers and catchers and what could happen in this rotation this year is very interesting to me, particularly because we've picked up some pitchers that others have left for dead, right? And then somehow we're going to make some magic happen. I mean, we saw with Mike Mussina coming to the Yankees after, you know, so many years in Baltimore and being like kind of our rival and then coming in and doing a great job. So, you know what, it'll be interesting to see what the new pitchers that we've brought in and some of the, you know, flavorings of what's going on in the farm. So I'm really looking forward to tonight's episode. And then, of course, about me talking about Gary Sanchez and how much I love him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I look forward to the rants on Gary Sanchez. It's been a minute. We're going to get some rants on Gary Sanchez. Absolutely. Let's get Greg on, man. Greg from the Bronx Bomber News and Podcast at Coach GSM on Twitter. It's good to hear from Greg, man. Greg, I look forward to your episodes on the podcast as well, but welcome back to the Dugout, man. How you doing, man?
Hey, Steve. Doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on. Can't wait to talk about Yankee baseball, finally, with somebody else other than my wife.
Hey, real talk, shout out to Greg. Yeah, look forward to it, man. And then, of course, it wouldn't be a Yankees podcast without Jimmy, Kane's Eagle One, the stakeholder of the year in 2020. Shout out to Jimmy, man. Thank you very much, bro, for all you've done for Yankees baseball and Yankees talker on social media. Jimmy, welcome back to the Dugout. How you doing, man? How's everything?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. It's glad to be back. I'm glad to be back finally talking baseball. I'm glad that we're not talking about, you know, it's not like last year where it was like, oh, well, we have baseball and blah, 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 and this and, you know, I'm glad we're actually going to have baseball to actually talk about, you know, and this feels good, and I'm looking forward to it, man. Spring training, baby.
You know, yeah, that was really funny, because I remember we were talking about that. I remember we were talking about that, Jimmy, on our, I think it was the stakeholder party, right? Suzanne, we were on it, right?
Oh, my God, Jimmy, hey, celebrating you.
Yeah, remember the episodes, as episodes went and we didn't know where baseball was at this time, and as the calendar went and we still didn't know, Jimmy was getting upset. I mean, it was real, but it was sad, but at the same time, his rants were so fucking funny. You know? I loved it.
Yeah, they were. It was funny, man.
Yeah,
it was funny, but it was a good time, dude.
It was a good time. And we finally got those games. You was almost on the mark as far as the number of games, too. You were like 2 games off, too. You were right on the button. Susan, let's get right into this. Pitchers and catchers, man. Anywhere you would like to go with it, adding Kluber and Talon and then Jordan Montgomery after, he played a little bit at the end of last season, and we saw a lot of him. But there's a lot of questions. The depth of the starting rotation. I'm just thinking at the top of my head, like middle relief. Ottavino traded to the Red Sox. And, who else is going? Conley, guys like that. So the back end is still intact with Britton and Chapman. But what about the middle relief? You know, besides Chad Green, I mean, we have a lot of questions and I think a lot of holes, man, or more question marks than holes. But go ahead, Susan. We'll go with you, and then of course Greg, and then Jimmy.
Well, the Post had today that Justin Wilson might be in the mix, which would be interesting. But you're right, Steve. We really have some holes in the middle, the middle reliever or the long reliever, because I mean, quite frankly, we can't trust anybody this year to go, even Cole, to go more than, 6 innings. So, and then when they have a bad day, we've got to be relying on some of these, middle relievers, to your point. Chad Green being one, and he could also serve as an opener, as we've seen. I think Jonathan Loaisiga, is a good bet as a middle reliever. And it would be interesting to see if this Justin Wilson panned out. I'm kind of excited, I'll be honest with you, with Darren O'Day. I always thought he was lethal against us, coming from the Orioles, along with Britton. But I'm a believer in him. I like him a lot. So between who I'm mentioning, in Loaisiga, I even forgot Sessa, not my favorite, but he's there. Chad Green. We have the ability of maybe picking up somebody else like a Wilson that's out there. And O'Day, it might be a really interesting way that we're sort of filling in for some of the holes in the starting rotation. I mean, and that's if, Kluber and Talon can't get it together. I mean, we don't know. A fresh start, in the Bronx might be just what those two guys need. But I'm also sort of, I'm worried. I will tell you, I'm excited that Paxton won't be back, quite frankly, this year. I feel a little bit calmer. But you're right. It'll be interesting to see in the last few weeks before the start of the season who the Yankees wind up picking up.
Okay. Let's go to you, Greg. What's your thoughts as far as starting pitchers that we currently have, all the players that are going to compete as far as spring training and middle reliever? Suzanne hit on a lot of those points, but if you'd like to follow up on any of yours and then go to Jimmy on the pitchers.
The beginning of the offseason, I didn't know what Cashman was doing. We were kind of sitting around waiting. We knew Tanaka was still out there, possibly, to be signed. I didn't think Paxton or Jay Happ were coming back. So we were sitting there for a while, kind of, in neutral. And, we were getting guys, Chacin, guys like that here and there. But then when, we got Kluber, I knew Taillon as soon as he was available or we heard he was available. I thought, I've been on him, all off season. I talked about him numerous times on the podcast. I think he's a front end guy on any given day, as long as he's healthy. He's coming off Tommy John. But I think with Cashman, at first, I was frustrated with him, but then as we got further along, we have a lot of question marks, but we have a lot of options too. And if one fails, you have to think another one will do fine. We are going to run into that innings limit with our pitchers this year, and because of a short season, because guys coming off of injury. You remember the Matt Harvey thing a few years back with the Mets. Do they let him continue past, 150 innings? I don't think any of our starters by the time, except Cole, by the time we get to October, will probably be the only one around 150 innings. The rest of them will all be, 100, 110, because we have a lot of, I think, 4-inning starts and then some piggyback behind it because of the depth. So we'll I think we're fine as far as we just have a lot of options. And then, you know, the bullpen, we adding Day, adding Justin Wilson here. You still have, you know, Michael King, Sessa, Nelson, but you also have added, you know, Adam Warren, guys like Matt Bowman, Kyle Bearclaw, guys like that coming in who've had a major league experience. So you got about 30 guys coming into camp for, you know, basically 13 opening day spots, and then, you know, probably another three or four or five down in Scranton. And, you know, I like what Cashman did. I got to give him credit. I was very frustrated at the beginning, but he's given us a lot of options, and I know he was up against it with the budget, and he went budget shopping, and he got some real talent. They just, you know, a lot of question marks. Stay healthy, and I like what he's done with what he had to deal with.
Okay. Shout-outs to Greg. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, what's your thoughts on the pitchers that we have going into spring training? Guys coming back for another year with the Yankees, the new guys, so on and so forth.
Oh, man, you know, our pitching, I still think is going to be really, really good. I really like the additions that we made, especially Darren O'Day is, like, one of my favorites. I mean, with the Orioles, he was always a pitcher that was really – he was a really, really nasty, you know, nasty guy, especially when he was a closer. So, I mean, if he could bring that level that he's in Baltimore, I think we're getting a really, really good piece. And I also really love Corey Kluber. I mean, if he can bring his experience that he brought, you know, if he can be the same player that he was with Cleveland, I think it's going to work out. But we'll see. I mean, I'm glad that we have spring training this year to really evaluate these guys. You know, they're not going to go in there like cold turkey like they were last year. You know, it was just like go out there and play, and, you know, not, you didn't really get a chance to evaluate anybody. So the fact that we're going to have spring training and spring training games, I think we'll know a lot more about our team. So overall, I really like what we've done, and I can't wait for actual games to see how these guys work out, you know?
Yeah, you know what, Jimmy? I thought let me try to backtrack what happened about last year, because we were heading into spring training around this time. The COVID situation started to break around the country a little bit. Now, I don't want to get to the nuts and crannies of it, but I'm talking about as far as shutting things down. Spring training started to get underway, and then all of a sudden it went poof, like we already know, around mid-March. So, you know, you're right as far as we're getting back to the normal things, and that includes all baseball clubs, all rosters, and just it's almost like a fresh start because how things were crazy last year for all teams. To Greg's point, as far as Kluber, is a guy I definitely respect. And Suzanne, we talked about this before, how I feel about Corey Kluber. And if we could just get even 75% of what he brings to the table as far as get big game pitcher, always keeps the ball down in the zone. He was always a true number one all those years with Cleveland. I think this is a very good add, bringing him, but you never know when you're coming off these big injuries. You know, the rest of the starting pitching, Suzanne, give me your thoughts as far as, you know, the main rotations. You said, you know, having those bullpen games with Chad Green and all that, but what about a fifth starter as far as who you think could solidify that, or who you think will win the job, or who would you like to see as far as rounding up the rotation after Cole, after Corey Kluber, and then you know you could talk about Jameson Taillon and coming over from Pittsburgh. How do you look at the starting rotation in the best case scenario, and then we'll go back to Greg.
Best case scenario, I mean, obviously we're looking at a Cole. We're looking at, I guess Kluber would be second. Taillon likely could be the third starter. The Jordan Montgomery would be in there. And depending on where we are with Domingo Germán, I mean, he could be number five. I like Debbie Garcia. I know he needs some work. And I like Mike King a lot as well. Do I think that they are 100% ready? No, I think they're young and they still have a lot to learn. But I think they could see some innings for sure. But it's really going to depend on how Kluber and how Talon perform. It's their spot to win or lose, quite frankly. But, you know, the other guys I mentioned, you know, King and Garcia, I think Montgomery will be stronger this year. And you know, I mean, eventually we'll get Severino back. But that's going to be much later in the summer, towards the end of the season, that we will start to see him. I mean, in, you know, maybe July we'll be able to see him. And that's why it's going to be really important out of the gate for those five starters to, you know, make their mark and show us, you know, who's boss. I mean, we've got to get out of the gate strong. And when I say out of the gate strong, I mean, yes, everybody laughs about spring training. We need spring training because we need to see innings. We need to see these guys be in games. But, you know, come April, we've got to get out of the gate and start winning some games right in the beginning. Because I'll tell you what, the Blue Jays are looking good. I'm always concerned about them. I mean, Tampa Bay, they're not the same team as last year, but they've always given us a hard time. And I'm just talking about our division, let alone, you know, the inter-squad games that we play, as well as, you know, some of these other teams that are beefing up. But we've got to get out of our division first and foremost, and we've got to do it fast and right away, and we've got to sort of stake a claim on where we're headed.
Let me come back to you one more time, and then we go to Gray. Garcia, you said we need, you know, he's not ready yet. What would you like to see the Yankees do to get him ready? Whether if it happens to be a starter role or just quality innings, what would you like to see the improvements from last year for Garcia to this year? You know, I thought, you know, his four-seam fastball was okay last year, and his, you know, his curves and his slider, his pitch arsenal, he usually throws like a four-pitch arsenal. But what would you like to see improved, and how you think pitching coaches could get him to, you know, Susie Prof level ready, as far as for his sake, for this roster, for this season.
Honestly, if you remember, I've always said this, and you know, Tanaka is not with us anymore. I mean, he'll be going home, and I don't know that we've seen the last of him in Yankee pinch right, quite frankly. But I always said Tanaka needed that extra day's rest. I think, given the injuries that the team has had, Kluber. Oh, I mean, he pitched like, you know, one inning. He really didn't pitch much at all last year. Talon, Tommy John, and injuries as well. It wouldn't hurt us to have Garcia pitch on a fifth game or, you know, in rotation to give guys an extra break, an extra day, or skip a rotation. I'm saying this because it might keep us healthy along the way, and it will give him some innings, and it will give him, to your point, Steve, some opportunity to grow and to be in some tight games. So that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see him come in and give the others a break while also building the stamina for the pitcher I think he can be.
Now, Susan, do you have a question for Greg? I have a question for Greg, too. But do you have, I mean, I know you have a lot of the Yankee knowledge, which you're in, along with Greg. Do you have any direct questions for him you'd like to ask about the pitchers, and we can do the same thing for Jimmy?
Sure. I mean, do you think, given the rotation that potentially is in front of us, that we will go to an opener this year?
No. Well, in an opener type, there's a – you know, doubleheader type thing. But I really think it looks like the Yankees will approach it is you're going to have starts with Kluber, Taillon, Monty, Garcia. You're going to have starts with those guys where they go twice through the order, four innings. And then you're going to have somebody, you know, coming in for two or three behind them. that keeps the innings down. You know, you have something over the course of a season like 1,500 innings, and your starters, you know, are going to give you somewhere between 850, 900 if they go five innings. So, I you know, ideally, Corey Kluber goes, you know, if he stays healthy, goes 25 starts, he's around 110 innings. And that way he's not gassed when we get to October. Same with Tyon. Monty last year only threw, you know, probably like 40 innings maybe, and Garcia less. So Herman threw nothing at all. So I think we're going to find guys are going to start. You're going to have a regular rotation, but I think the number of innings the starters will go, they won't go five, they won't go six, unless you're talking about Cole or a situation where, you know, it's needed. But I think all of our starters except for Cole is going to be on an innings limit. So two times through the order, four innings. Then, you know, you follow a tie on after four, you bring in Domingo Herman for three. And there's seven. Then you go, you know, then you decide what you're going to do as far as your, you know, are you going to Britton Chapman, Green Britton Chapman, or are you going to go to, you know, Sessa to give you a couple of innings. Depends on the score. So I think the Yankees have a plan of keeping the innings down on their starters. It keeps them healthy. It keeps them healthy for the playoffs because the Yankees are going to make the playoffs. It's just a matter of, you know, what seed if they get home field advantage. But we want to keep I think we'll go five starters, but I also think, yeah, like Susan said, that there's days where, we're going to go with a, you know, somebody will throw a six starter out there just because we have the depth to do it. And it also, you know, will keep the innings down on some of these guys.
What about you, Greg? Let me go back to you on that as far as the Garcia. And it's pretty much kind of what Suzanne said about Garcia. Like, your best case scenario as far as Garcia excelling within the starting rotation and or getting him the best opportunity to succeed is how would you look through it through your eyes as far as his success in 2021?
Yeah, you know, I think he's ready. I think Suzanne's right. I think he's ready to go. I think he'll, you know, he went something like 30 innings last year. So you can't expect him to go 100, 120 innings this year. So I think he'll be in the rotation if it's, you know, in an ideal situation. He's in the rotation with Tyon, Kluber, Monty, and Cole. And then you got your five guys. And then, you know, you're not putting a lot of pressure on him. He's your fifth guy. Again, he's going through the lineup twice and then, you know, giving the ball off to somebody else who also can go through the lineup twice. That's one good thing about this depth that Cashman created here is you got a lot of guys, you know, and you guys like Chacin, if they, you know, if they're up on the big league staff. I'm big on Kyle Faircloth if he's healthy. Matt Bowman, the Yankees brought him in. He was a good pitcher for the Cardinals before he got hurt a couple years ago. But I think Garcia is going to be fine. I just think they're going to limit some of the innings. But he will, you know, he comes in, he goes through the order twice, and then he hands the ball off to somebody else who can go through the order twice if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Jimmy, any additional thoughts on this conversation with Garcia? Tyon, we'll come back to him about that, his resiliency. But, Jimmy, anything else you'd like to add as far as how you like to see the roundup of the starting lineup or even within the middle relief, the bullpen, so on and so forth?
I could see Olaizer easily being like a six starter on some days because, you know, we've seen that he can – we've seen that he can go through rotation a little bit, and when he has, he's looked good. You know, he's made little mistakes here and there because, you know, he's still young. But you know when he makes a mistake, he gets right back at it. So I think I could easily see him being a six like starter along with the guys that we have. So yeah, that's my thoughts right there. Like I I see Lil Isaac or Lasagna, as we like to call him. I see him being in there somewhere. Just have to be aware, you know.
I didn't expect that. I wasn't expecting that. I hear that. Now, Jimmy, let me ask you this, man. What about Montgomery, man? As far as, you know, we've always looked at, over the last couple of years, we always looked at him as like the fifth starter, right? So, to me, I just think he's kind of, by default, is probably a fourth starter in his lineup. I don't know what you guys may think about this, but what about Montgomery, where I think he probably started about 9 or 10 games last year, had 4 or 5 no decisions, pretty much split. Some games he was on, and then sometimes he got a little bit roughed up, man. And as far as what you think we can expect out of Montgomery, Jimmy, what's your thoughts on that?
I think he's gonna continue like where he left off. I mean, it all depends on I think, you know, how spring training goes for him. You know, if he gets a couple starts there, you know, we should see how that goes. So I mean, I could easily see him being a fourth starter. You know, if he continues his dominance the way he did, you know. For there being only 60 games, he was pretty impressive, you know. So if he continues that, we got a really big machine there. As far as the fourth starter goes,
I am hoping for Monty as far as you know, try to keep the runs down, the home runs down. I think he could have a nice, you know, maybe not. I would love to see him take a huge step. I just don't see that out of Montgomery. Just kind of keep the Yankees in the game, utilize his stuff as far as we had a situation, I think, a couple of times last year when we got rocked after he came out of the games. But the rest of the lineup, and I'm going to back to Suzanne on this, because I don't think we should this is a point I think I want to make as far as Taillon, as far as his resiliency. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did he like a couple of years ago have like cancer or something, and he beat that, and then he ended up getting to Tommy John and missed. Now, he had the Tommy John in 19, so he didn't even play at all through the COVID season, right, Suzanne? As far as
he didn't play.
James Italian. Right, he didn't play at all.
Nope.
I haven't seen him in a minute. So, yeah, now the Yankees making that play, making the trade for him back in late January. I just look at it as far as, you know, you mentioned Herman. We could go back and forth with Taillon and Herman. What do you think, you know, after, you know, he played a few years with the Indians. I didn't really see him a lot with the Pirates, to be honest with you, because I don't watch a lot of Pirates baseball. But I know he did get hurt. But what – it's almost like it's an X-factor situation with him and what to expect out of him in a regular season. Spring training is one thing, getting innings, but you still got to get a rhythm. You got to have – get your endurance back. And, I mean, you totally missed a lot of baseball since 2019. How can you compare to a player as far as him missing games from what he's going through? And what do you think? I mean, what do you expect? I mean, that's the ultimate question. What do you expect, if any? What's your thoughts?
Well, you know what I like about him? I mean, I like the way he speaks. I mean, I like his grit. I like his passion, the way he talked about it. But I will say that there's also a friendship between him and Cole. And there's something to be said for that. When you play with somebody, you build the bond with that person. And, you know, there seems to be a camaraderie there. Now, there were a few seasons where he didn't play. And this is a battler, right? I mean, he had 2 seasons back in, like, 2014, 2015 that he didn't play. Now, I don't know if that was – it says injured, so I'm imagining he had some sort of injury. I thought he had Tommy John twice, but I may be mistaken. He did not play in 2020. He was injured, and he continues to have some issues. He may have had Tommy John maybe way back. Maybe he did actually have it in 14-15, then came back, and then he didn't play last season at all because he was injured. But, you know, here and there. The guy is going to come back, and he's getting a fresh start in the Bronx, and he's going to make the most of that best start. And if it doesn't – I mean, God, I'm rooting for this kid. I mean, I'm rooting for him because we need him to do well. I'm rooting for him because he deserves it. He's been pushing himself to do well, and he's not giving up. People like that are worth putting you know, some of your time into. So the pitching coaches and strength and conditioning coaches that are going to work with him, that are working with him, you know, I think he's coachable. I think he's going to perform for them. And I think he's going to do the routines and push through. But it's, you know what? The day he steps onto the mound in a real season game and starts to get into the groove, it's going to be up to him. You know, I mean, 90% of the game is mental. So can he get past that? I know, like, personally, being injured as a runner, it was always nerve-wracking to get back out there because you sort of have the ghosts of what happened. If I pitch, am I going to hurt my elbow again? And is it going to be the same old thing? Am I prone to these injuries? So he's got to face those demons as well. But I'm rooting for him. I think he has a chance to do really well, and I hope he does. I hope he does well.
Now, also, before we go to Greg, Domingo Germán, a guy, now he's come with some baggage off the field, and we don't want to go down that road with what went down with him. But as far as the return to the Yankees, and I don't think he's finished strong in that Dominican League. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I think at one point we were keeping tabs on it, and he was doing okay, but I don't think he finished as strong. Now, this guy, we know his pitch arsenal before he was suspended was very, very nasty stuff. I remember even Lewis having conversations with him on this platform with you guys of how filthy of the arsenal of his pitches. I mean, his curveball, his escapability. I mean, I know he had his home run problems, but I thought he was really coming along. I mean, dude, there is a lot of where to unpack with him because of the off-the-field stuff, maybe his later struggles. What do you think about Germán, you know, just rejuvenation, a breath of fresh air? I mean, I'm pretty sure there's fans out there, and rightfully so, that, you know, doesn't want to see the light of day with Domingo Germán. But what's your thoughts on Domingo Germán? Then we go to Greg as far as his thoughts on Germán, as well as Taillon, as far as him coming back from the injuries and fighting sickness and stuff like that.
Yeah, Steve, it's a tough one for me. I'm not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I think it is a blessing and a gift to wear a Yankee uniform. I really do. And I think anybody that makes it to the Bronx and is in the starting rotation, whether they're an infielder or outfielder or even to walk the clubhouse, it's a privilege. And I think he took advantage of that privilege. So it's really hard for me to, you know, get behind him. Now, that being said, do I think he has the potential to come back and be who he was, to your point, with the filthy stuff that he had? Because I rooted for that guy. I think anybody has the potential to come back and to do well. I mean, you've seen CC Sabathia come back over and over and over again. I mean, determination, 90% of this is mental. And he's got his own demons as well to face. He's got the fans to face. So anybody can do well if he's coachable, if he's willing to put the work in, and he can stay in the zone, he can pitch well. But to your point, Steve, he didn't pitch well, even in the Dominican. So whatever's going on with him, he needs to figure that out. Now, remember, it's not a guarantee that he even makes the starting rotation. I made the assumption that he'd be number five in the rotation. It doesn't have to be him. They could rotate. To your point, they have depth. They have Mike King. I didn't even talk about Clark Schmidt. I mean, we've got other people. We've got Loaisiga, to Jimmy's point, could be the fifth starter. And eventually we're going to get Severino back. So there's no guarantees in this game. And I don't put my stake in him, but I want to see any pitcher that gets on there do well at the end of the day, because it means the team is going to do well. But again, you know, it's not my favorite. It's not a great topic for me.
Oh, since you mentioned it, I'm sorry, Greg. Since you did mention about Clark Schmidt, I mean, I think a guy who had a limited appearance last year, but I like his stuff, you know, with his sinker and his curve and his four-seamer. What do you like? potential of Schmidt, and then we can have all these questions for Greg, because I know he talked about it on Browns Bomber News and Podcast. He reiterated to the Bleed Blue Show. But go ahead, Suzanne. Well, you tell us on Schmidt. I heard you didn't mention him because I was going to get around to it, but since you name dropped, I definitely want to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, sure. I like him. You're right. I mean, he's got some good stuff. I like the way he carried himself. He was a big prospect, and I think he had three appearances in 2020. So I'm not sure, you know, where he's got to show up to spring training and be that guy, right? So let's see how he came in. I haven't seen pictures of him yet. I don't know if he did some work in the off season. I mean, I think everybody had some difficulty in the off season, you know, given the fact that COVID was really ramped up in the fall. But it'll be really fun to kind of see where he sort of falls this season. And again, don't count him out, because he could be the fifth starter. Anybody's game. And if he comes in with the right attitude and the right mindset with some of his filthy stuff, and you know, seeing him, you know, in the few innings that we did, in the few starts that we did, you know, he made an impression on me, enough for me to name drop, to your point. So let's see what the kid can do. But he does have the potential to step in.
All right, cool. Thank you. Greg, what's your thoughts, man? I mean, additional thoughts as far as the aforementioned pitches, especially Herman, and what do you think his mindset, or what do you think the best or worst case scenario for Herman for 2021 with the Yankees, or may not be, depending on how it breaks? And then, you know, Clark Schmidt, any other pitches you'd like to reiterate that you would like to discuss or focus and pinpoint on? And then we can get Jimmy's additional thoughts. And then, of course, Suzanne has some fire for the catchers. But we'll get to the last round on these pitchers.
Yeah, look, you know, I don't know how Herman grew up. I don't know his situation when he was a kid, what he saw. I don't know, you know, any of that. He made a big mistake. Young guy, obviously paying for it. So all that aside, he does have some issues he's going to have to deal with during the season with fans, not only Yankee fans, but fans in other ballparks if they want to, you know, get at him kind of thing. He's going to, if I was him, I would wear cotton in my ears kind of thing, so I don't have to hear some of the stuff. But I think Herman's going to be fine. In the winter ball here, I think it was more it wasn't results. It was more just getting innings in, just facing live hitters in game situation. You can't duplicate that in inner squad, not really. You know, you have to face live hitters, guys in the other dugout, you know, fans in the stands. And so I think that was a big thing of the him getting innings. I wasn't too interested in the results. I know early on he looked good, tailed off a little bit, but I think a lot of that, you know, again, it's just rust, getting that rust off, getting to spring training, getting his work in. I don't think he's going to be in the rotation. I think he's going to be a swing guy. I think with Cole Kluber, Taillon, Monty, and Davey Garcia, I think there's your five starters. I think Herman is going to be that guy that's going to piggyback on certain days. I think Michael King might be that guy. I think you're going to see a lot of multiple inning relievers, guys like Sessa, again, King, Loaisiga. You're going to see a lot of that. The one-inning guys will still be Chapman, Britton, Green, O'Day, Wilson, those guys. But you're going to see, you know, multiple inning relievers. I think Herman's going to be one of those guys. And, you know, if he struggles, send him down to AAA, let him get some innings down there until he gets that rust completely off and is able to come back up. He won 18 games a couple years ago. So, you know, we know the talent's there. Now, with Taillon, I think it was 14, he had Tommy John surgery, 14 or 15. He also dealt with cancer during that time in the off season when he was rehabbing. So this is his second Tommy John. When I look at Taillon, I see Sonny Gray, but not the head case. I see he's Sonny. I mean, he's got good stuff. He was a top draft choice. He's, you know, him and Cole bonded when they both were with the Pirates. And, You know, Garrett Cole, that's, you know, one of his best friends, if not his best friend. So, Taillon, he has battled over the years with his career. You got to give him, you know, credit for still fighting. He has, this is his second Tommy John. He could have pitched last year at the end of the year, but the Pirates chose to just not, you know, he was healthy enough to pitch, but they just held him out. I think one of the things they wanted to do was give him a fresh start this year. But he could have pitched if, you know, for some reason they could have been in a pennant, could have been a guy down the stretch pitching for them. Monty, this is kind of a make or break year with him. Last year, you want to say he's coming off surgery. He's getting it would have been a full year, which would have been nice. But because of the, you know, the shortened season, he only got, you know, I think about 40, 50 innings in. But this year, we're going to kind of find out what Monty is going to be, whether he's going to be in this rotation, maybe a 4-5 on another team, could be a 2-3. It just depends on the team, but we're going to find out what he's got, you know. And I think, you know, the options are there. I don't think they're putting a lot of pressure on him. I think a couple times through the lineup and keeping his innings limits or his innings down through the season is going to be helpful. I like Jordan Montgomery. I hope he is able to, you know, stay in the rotation, stays healthy. I think he could be, you know, he's a left-hander, which, you know, the other guys are all righties in the rotation. So he's got one left-hander. And I think in the playoffs last year, he stepped up big, and maybe going forward, that's a big boost to his confidence. He knows he could pitch in big spots. And, you know, I just like all the options the Yankees have. You know, we're not even talking about guys like Michael King, Nick Nelson. Those guys, I think some of these guys are going to start the year in AAA, and they're going to manage their innings. So when they are needed, they're going to get plugged in. You know, guys are out of options. You might see some type of a deal here as we get to spring training. Albert Abreu's out of options. You know, there's some guys that the Yankees, you know, maybe a roster spot if they, you know, they got some spring training invites that looks like a good spot, a good chance of making the team. So, you know, again with Taillon, I like him. I always have. Monty, it's kind of a make or break year for him. And with Herman, I'm rooting for him. I hope he got his, you know, his shit together here. We'll find that out soon. We'll find that out as soon as he starts facing batters in front of fans. We'll find out if Herman can handle the pressure, and if not, there's other guys who could step up, step in. So I'm not worried about that.
Right on, bro. Shout-outs to Greg. Jimmy, anything else you'd like to add on with the pitchers we're talking about? Any additional pitchers you'd like to focus on that we haven't discussed? And then we'll go back to the catchers, get some thoughts on that.
Oh man, I think I'm really good about what I said as far as, you know, pitchers go, man. I think it's gonna be a deep rotation. I will say with Herman though, like the big question I think for me is not gonna be if he does well or not. It's more of where do you put him in such a crowded lineup that we have? You know, that's my question, because you know, it's, you know, we're already crowded as it is with pitchers. I don't see a spot for him unless like a miracle happens, you know. You know, that's my thing.
Yeah. I mean, like Suzanne said, playing for the Yankees is a privilege. Especially this 21st century version of the Yankees. You know, people want to play here, and Cashman will find the players to get here to play for this roster. You know, you'll get, you know, opportunities and second chances and all that, but if you don't deliver, or you don't, if your risk is not higher than the reward that the is going to hit for the baseball team, it may come sooner or later, but it may be done sooner than later. Suzanne, the last 15 minutes of this episode, Sanchez and Higgy, I mean, it is quite evident that, you know, batting-wise, we know how poor it was with a combination of both of them, but individually we know Sanchez had a terrible year at the plate, all right? But it's more than just hitting. It's also calling games. And I just think we've seen situations where Sanchez calling games has been a struggle, too, for our own starting pitchers. You know, he went through the arbitration, and then, you know, as far as got what he got through the compensation means. Go ahead and rant, Susan. Go ahead and rant. I'll just put it out there. I'll just put the softball out there.
It comes down to this. It comes down to this. It is a privilege to be able to wear any baseball uniform at any point. You've got to work hard for that. And when you get there, you can't stop working hard. No excuses. He was benched during the playoffs because he can't hit and he can't catch. The end. There's no other explanation. I mean, he was looking for an explanation as to, well, why am I sitting? Well, why are you sitting? Because you can't play. We took one more chance. This is it. This is the last year. He either does it or he has got to be out. And honestly, we better start grooming some new catchers because we're in trouble. The fact that we lost Romine, I mean, we let him go, that was a mess. And, I mean, do I think Higgy is the future? No. We got to get catchers in here because Sanchez just is not going to be able to do it. I mean, unless some sort of he turns a new leaf. I mean, last year he had to learn how to catch again. And then he was doing this thing where he was on his knee and he couldn't even throw the ball to second base. I mean, he to me is worthless, Steve. You know how I feel about him, and he's a lazy ass. So, I mean, let's see what happens. But it's the same thing every single year with this guy, and he just can't hack it. I mean, and last year he couldn't hit. So at least he's, oh, yeah, we're putting him in for his bat. Well, he can't hit either, Steve. So I don't know what we're doing with this guy.
I don't know. She didn't have no bone on the plate, man. But here's the thing. What is the plan to – is there a plan from Cashman to get a catcher in here to get the job done? Like, are we really going to roll this out? And we've seen what happened in 2020. And we give all these excuses. He got injured. We had to wait for him to get back from injury. You know, he was out of shape. We get him in shape. Then he gets in shape. He can't catch. He can't hit. I mean, how many excuses, Suzanne? And then we go to Greg as far as are we going to have? I mean, I know Higgy did some okay things in the spot role, and I think he had one game. He had the multiple home run game. But you're right. He's not an everyday starting catcher. You know, is there an answer out there that Cashman is going to go with? But if we roll with this, how detriment could this be as far as calling games? Or we already have issues trying to find the rotation as it is. Like, what do you want to – I mean, is this what we're rolling with? I mean, what's your thoughts? And then we'll get to Greg.
Really? You want me to come back on and say it again? We could have gone after a catcher. I realized that we needed to sign DJ LeMahieu, and everything stopped until we signed him. And then we started to bring in Kluber and Tyann and all of these other fixtures to kind of, you know, in some ways duct tape this rotation. But, you know, we gave up, you know, the possibility of some of these catchers that were out there on the market. Now, did I think we had the money for a Realmuto? No, because we had to sign a LeMahieu. I get it. But we're in a lot of trouble when it comes to catching, and we have been for quite a long time. And you're right, Steve, we keep going with this guy. Is this our future? It can't be. I mean, I've got to believe that Brian Cashman's got something up his sleeve because you're right. I'm worried about him calling the shots behind the plate and the pitchers taking him seriously and trusting him. There's a trust here, too, where I just don't think he's got his act together. I don't think he knows baseball. I think he, you know, he was a kid who, like, was being groomed for this, and then, oh, yeah, you can catch, and, you know, whatever. He put on some weight. He's not athletic. He can't hit the ball. I don't know what we're doing with him. So, I don't know. It's a mystery to me, but we're stuck with him for at least this season.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Suzanne. Greg, help us out, man. What is going on with the catching situation? And Bronze Bomber News and Podcast, what is the dialogue on the catching situation, bro?
Well, I can't tell you who's going to be our catcher in AAA right now. There's nobody. I mean, it's all these young guys, Sigler and guys like that. I think that's what the last thing on the plate for Cashman here. I think the Yankees are going to bring in a spring training invite as a catcher, probably a veteran guy. I think he's already like a Martin Maldonado type, just as insurance. Because even if Gary figures it out, there's always a possibility of him getting hurt or Higgy getting hurt. So you got to have he's retired, but you got to have somebody who can step in and at least catch for 10 days. You know that type of thing. Now, I don't think anybody had a worse off season and lack of self-awareness than Gary Sanchez this whole last year. He mentally, I got so tired of people making excuses for him. He's a grown man. I don't want to hear we need to bring in a Yadi Molina as a mentor for him. Those type of things. It's just like Suzanne said, it's a privilege to wear pinstripes. It's a privilege to wear a major league uniform. And he seems like his self-awareness, who could have had a worse off season? He goes and he does an interview and, well, I don't know why I'm not playing. Nobody told me nothing, that kind of thing. And then, Pudge Rodriguez is defending him and, oh, he doesn't like baseball right now. Well then, retire. You hit .140 last year. Enough. You're a grown man.
Mm.
You're a grown man making a good money that probably 50 million people would love to have your job. So grow up, get back behind the plate. They're making him learn how to catch again. Oh, poor him at $6 million a year playing for the New York Yankees. Learn to catch. It's not that hard if you already have done it. He's been doing it since he's 16 years old in the Yankees organization. I'm tired of hearing it. It's a big cloud over this team. The guy, who's the best beneficiary of this is Stanton. Because Stanton's been hurt the last couple of years. Judge. Those guys are ducking it because everything's focused on Gary. Gary Sanchez, you got an option here. You get your act together or you get out of town. Enough. Enough with this grown man needing a mentor. Enough with this grown man who can't figure out how to catch now. Who can't hit. He's taking his at-bats behind the plate with him. He's been doing that for years. I've been saying it for years. He does it behind the plate. He has a bad at-bat. He misses the pass ball. He doesn't block a pitch because he's 0-for-4. Enough. Either put up or shut up. Get out of town if you can't hit. I hope Gary Sanchez does well because that means the Yankees are doing well. But they have to have a plan B, and it can't be Higashioka for, the whole year. They have to bring in somebody who could be a AAA insurance policy in case Gary melts again. And recent history tells me he's going to melt again. He's not going to figure it out. I hope he does. I don't know if he will.
I agree. I hate to copy off your papers, Greg. We've seen the story before. Jimmy, your thoughts on the catchers? Higgy gives you a little bright spot as a backup, but, we all know this is all about Sanchez, or mostly about Sanchez. But your thoughts on this, and get some final thoughts from everybody.
I really hope Sanchez does get it together because, we're gonna need him to if we want to be a good baseball team in that department. But what we have to do is I think he has the makings of being that kind of a starter because we've seen games where he makes a lot of mistakes and Higashioka makes a lot of mistakes, but one thing I will give him credit for is he's not lazy like Sanchez, At least Higashioka tries to do what he could do, and he can come up with a big hit here and there. So, if he can step up his role and be one of the guys in the mix, then it's a good thing. We'll have to wanted to see what other guys we could add. You know, maybe somebody from a AAA. You know, maybe even maybe even somebody from you know Somerset. You know, with the whole maybe somebody over there can you know see what one of those guys do. The key thing is my point I'm getting at is that we got to get someone from somewhere. Yeah, you know, we can't just have two catchers the whole year. You know, it's not gonna work like that. So that's my thoughts right there.
Yeah, it's really a hope and see, but we know reality. It's been so up and down with Sanchez, and the last couple of the COVID season is one thing, but then how the injury situation. If anybody needs a fast start individually, it's definitely him. We're not going to be done with him because we're going to have to analyze and discuss this throughout the month of February and March. Throughout March in our next episode. But Suzanne, let's get your final thought. I thought this is great dialogue, and of course, Bleeding Yankee Blue, Bronze Bomber News and Podcast, KGYR. Suzanne, articles coming down the pipe for Bleeding Yankee Blue this week. Your thoughts, your final thoughts. Thank you very much for your commentary, and same thing from Greg, so on and so forth. Suzanne, your final thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sitting here waiting to see what they're going to do with Brett Gardner. I had a piece yesterday where we talked about that. And one of the things I say in the piece is that there's simply no loyalty in baseball anymore, right? I mean, there's money for some people and there's no money for somebody else. So it'll just be interesting to see what they're going to do about Gardner. I do think we're going to sign another pitcher. That was our piece today where we talked about Justin Wilson. There's some talks about Robertson maybe making a third appearance back into the Bronx. We'll see. So, we'll have some interesting things this week. And as things heat up with pitchers and catchers, certainly we'll be, covering that and, whoever else decides is going to start a little early and get things going. But looking forward, it's, Susie Prof on Twitter and Susie Prof 1 on Instagram. We'll have some good stuff at Bleeding Yankee Blue. And thanks so much for having me tonight, Steve.
No, thank you for the partnership and Greg for the partnership and Jimmy for the partnership here talking baseball, Yankees baseball, Mondays throughout the regular season, all season and regular season. Thank you very much, Susie Prof. Susie Prof 1 on the gram. Coach GSM, your final thoughts, Bronze Bomber News and Podcast on social media, on the social media stuff. Final thoughts from you, sir.
Yeah, I think the Yankees will. I'd like, if they want to bring in David Robertson, I just right now it's about acquiring talent and sorting it out in the spring. You know, there'll be injuries. You know, there'll be some guys, struggling, but there's a lot of options. I think the Yankees, if they bring Robertson or anyone in right now, it'll be a late spring training invite. They do need to get a catcher. I think that's what Cashman will do here in the next few days, to bring in a catcher, some type of a veteran guy. You probably have to go through it. Whether it's a trade, we got some guys that are out of options, and maybe Cashman makes a deal, finds a catcher we can, put in AAA as an insurance policy with, and if he's a young guy, maybe he gets some playing time here. But I think now it's just, kind of finishing off with the thing with Jay Bruce signing. I like the signing. If there's a at bats for him as a lefty in the lineup in the short porch, I think that, you could find at bats for that guy. I don't know. I still think the Yankees can bring Brett Gardner in. I don't know how, that will all fit, that type of thing. But I think it's just going to be, this is going to be one of the spring trainings where there's a lot of questions. And with a $210 million payroll, usually don't have a lot of questions. I remember, years past it would be who's the backup guy, who's the backup catcher, who's the backup outfielder. This year there's a lot of question marks, and this is kind of a make or break for Cashman. I think he's the most interesting story here going forward this season, because with all of the things that he's done, we're carrying a $210 million payroll, and you usually don't have that many questions with a $210 million payroll. With a $40 million payroll like the Pirates, maybe you have a lot of questions. But I think Cashman, you know, I like what he's done. I still think we need to bring in a catcher. Pitching-wise, if we want to bring somebody in and acquire talent, just to get him in here, take a look at him, and signing Brett Gardner, I think that would probably end the what we're going to do before spring training starts.
Greg, details on your platform, the podcast, if you don't mind, social media handles for people to reach out to your content.
Yeah, I have a Bronx Brahma News podcast on Facebook and Instagram. I don't have on Twitter, but my Twitter feed is at CoachGSN on Twitter. You can find me on there. Articles, read articles, share articles, do the podcast. We'll get, you know, I have been doing it once a week. Now that the season's starting here, we'll go back to, you know, every probably twice a week. And then when the season starts, before and after every series.
Definitely. Bronx Bomber News and Podcast from Greg, man. Between Susie Prof, the Bleeding Yankee Blue, and the articles throughout the week, I could read it on the weekend. I'm chilling, and I could catch the shows on Facebook. And then Jimmy's Rants. In between games, I'm good. I'm real good. Thank you. I really appreciate you guys. I mean, I really do. And Jimmy, your final thoughts as we're running out of time. Your final thoughts on this pitchers and catchers episode. Your final thoughts, sir.
Hey man. All I gotta say first, I want to thank you guys for the stakeholder year in 2020. That was a really awesome thing you guys did. I couldn't get enough of listening to that. That was so cool. And also I have to say I'm just glad that we have baseball to talk about, man. You know, it feels good that we're gonna have baseball, we're gonna have spring training, we're gonna have a season. I can't wait to see how everything turns out, and we don't really know much right now. Until spring training comes, you know, spring training comes around and we start seeing games. You know, then we can evaluate stuff more. But all I'll say is I think we have a really, really deep rotation. It's the deepest rotation that we've ever had. I really like the additions that we made, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how they fan out. And I hope you have a good night, Steve. Let's go Yankees, buddy.
Let's go Yankees. We're back in the full swing with the all-season basketball. The all-season baseball. Sorry about that, guys. Freudian. Susie Prof, Greg, Coach GSM, Kings Eagle 1, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We'll be retweeting the crap out of the Bleeding Yankee Blue articles this week, and same with the podcast, the Bronx Bomber News and Podcast. We'll be sharing it on our platforms as well for Greg's content and, of course, Jimmy and Rance. We'll be back in 2 weeks. In 2 Mondays from now, we'll get to the rest of this team. And then not only we get to the rest of the team, but we will also get to some of these spring training games. Well, by the time we get back in 2 weeks, we'll have some gameplay starting with Detroit. In 11 days. I got to do the math in my head. And in 11 days, we'll have a spring training game. So I'm going to see you, ladies and gentlemen, the Yankee Podcast, The Dugout. Wee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.